Well, good morning. I want to tell you about a dream, a vivid dream that I had just this past Tuesday night. Before I tell you, you have to promise not to judge me. And I should probably preface this by saying that unusually there was a football game on Tuesday night. And an insurance company featuring advertisements with Aaron Rodgers was featured prominently throughout the game. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, also a fellow Californian, so, you know, we have a connection. There I was in my sleeping state, dreaming that I was having a conversation with Aaron, because in the dream world, of course, we're on a first name basis. And I asked him to consider becoming the Patriots quarterback. I had several good arguments, some emotional appeals from the heart, and what seemed to me to be a pretty strong case. That was it. No deeper truth, no underlying meaning, just a football dream. And do you know what I did after I had that dream? Absolutely nothing. I mean, I mentioned it to Betsy, but it didn't affect my day. I certainly didn't change any aspect of my life plans because of it. It was just a football dream. Now listen here to what Joseph does after he meets someone in a dream. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. You see, Joseph had a dream so vivid, so clear and relevant that he acted. These past few weeks, we've seen Joseph's character and his disposition are to do the right thing in the right way and to wait for God-given perspective when things don't go as planned. And I'm sure he didn't imagine that the right thing and the godly perspective would come to him from an angel in a dream. I mean, who gets to see angels in dreams? But when Joseph gets godly perspective, he acts, and in his action, he bears the cost of discipleship. He obeys despite the consequences to his life, despite the consequences to his reputation. He does what this dream angel told him to do. Even though he doesn't understand or have the big picture, he bears the cost of discipleship. So listen again to Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25, this section we've been working through. And imagine Joseph obeying in this situation without knowing what's going to happen next. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. This dream changed things in his life. Joseph was on an intense, emotional, personal roller coaster assessing what to do when he heard from the angel of the Lord, and then he acted. Joseph took Mary as his wife. He adopted the son she conceived and named him "The Lord Saves." He called his name Jesus. Talk about two people bearing the cost, right? Mary is worthy of great admiration, for she literally bears Jesus in her own body, along with the potential ridicule and scandal that it brought her. And then Joseph, in his decision, also bore the cost of discipleship. Now, what do we mean by discipleship? Well, Jesus had disciples. Christians talk about being a disciple, and we mean that we're shaped by our experience of Jesus, his work on our behalf, his example, and his teaching. More generally, a disciple, as you may know, is a follower, like an apprentice committed to learn and be like their teacher. So what makes someone want to be a disciple? Well, it's devotion to the area of study, and it's also a devotion to the relationship with the master. The hope is to be like the master in character and in your skill. A student will apprentice themselves to a master to be their disciple and to learn their methods, their way of being. This model is still used in art schools and the trades, even today. In the late 1200s, there was a shepherd boy out in the fields. I don't know if he was a very good shepherd, but he was out there sketching sheep on a flat stone. And the master painter, Cimabue of Florence, happened to be walking by. And he saw his drawings. And immediately he asked the boy's father if his son, who was about 12 years old, could join him as an apprentice in his workshop. And so the shepherd boy became an apprentice, a disciple. He began his tutelage by learning to grind up pigments for paint at the very bottom. And then he would construct frames for various projects for other artists. And as he progressed, he began to paint saints and stories following prepared patterns and books that showed him exactly how to do that. And he just kept doing that. Eventually, the boy mastered all the techniques over a period of about 10 years. Under his master. And he went on to paint some of the most stunning and evocative frescoes of the 14th century. Giotto is known as the first of the great Italian masters. And his innovations laid the groundwork for future Renaissance painters. People like Michelangelo, Botticelli, and Da Vinci, they all look back to him. So if you look at his life, we see in Giotto the desire to know the way of the artist. But also he had a connection with his master, Cimabue, who taught him everything that he knew. And so in a spiritual sense, right here, as we look at Joseph, we see these qualities in him. He's pursuing holiness, being like God in his character, but he does this because of his love for God. He is a disciple. Now, we already learned that Joseph is an upright man, right, who honors God. And while we don't know his backstory, character doesn't just fall from the sky, right? So we can surmise from these glimpses that he's been in the workshop of faith his whole life, right? The observance of feasts, the participation in weekly worship, the devout commitment to God were his regular practice. So that when we come to this introduction of Joseph, Joseph does what a disciple does. He's obedient to God, to what God is asking of him. Look at him. His character, what does he say? It says, not wanting to bring shame to Mary. This reflects the kindness of God. As theologian Dale Bruner writes, by the decision to give Mary a letter of divorce quietly, unguilty Joseph was prepared to take some of the social shame, that personal guilt of the failed betrothal upon himself, without complaint. And precisely that kind of decision is Christian righteousness. His character reflecting God's character. Later on, we see that he cared for Mary. He protected her. He responded to the message that God gave him and continued in his regular acts of worship and piety. And this showed his devotion. And while we never hear a word from Joseph, we see in these few glimpses that he was a faithful and devout, committed to learning and following in that workshop of faith. And so we see him as a true disciple of the way of righteousness, a true disciple of the master's way. Like so many people in the Bible, Joseph couldn't possibly know. He didn't possibly understand how the next steps would turn out. But he continues in the workshop of faith, and he counts the cost of obedience. He willingly endured the stigma of taking Mary, who's already pregnant, home as his wife. Think about telling his family. Think about the townspeople surely talking and assuming that he's slept with Mary before their wedding day. They'll think that they're connecting all the dots. We know what happened over there. Did you hear about Joseph? Did you see Mary? And in connecting all those dots, in that moment, they'll think wrongly about his character. And all of his protestations won't matter a bit. He's obedient despite obvious questions surrounding Mary's pregnancy. Joseph knew where babies came from, and he knew this baby didn't come from him. And despite getting a message from an angel, it had to weigh in his mind. Can she be trusted? I had a dream? Can I trust my dream? What? I'm sure he wondered about the connections to the local religious community. Will I be able to worship anymore? His family ties, his business prospects. Complicated stuff. A lot weighing on your mind. These are all things we can assume that Joseph thought about, but we can't know because all we have recorded in the few mentions of Joseph are what he did, his actions. This first dream that Joseph received and the two others that follow inspire specific actions. In every case, Joseph lived up to his reputation as a just man, and he acts accordingly. When he hears from the angel of the Lord, he quickly obeys. We don't hear a word from Joseph, but God chose him for this task of surrogate fatherhood. He legally establishes Jesus in the lineage of King David, and he dedicates him later on as the firstborn in the temple. He obediently fulfills his role to protect his family and watch over his son as he obeys the second dream angel, as we read in the next chapter, and he flees from Herod, who wants to destroy little King Jesus. Joseph responds to a third dream and returns with his family to the Galilee region and to Nazareth. He teaches Jesus in the family business as a craftsman, and he raises him to devoutly honor the Jewish religious customs. This is the house that Jesus grew up in, the house of a just man. Joseph's choice to obey despite the consequences, to bear the cost of discipleship, it starts this whole chain of events he never would have written into his life plan. You can see it. You know, apprentice to become a craftsman, get betrothed to Mary, have my life turned upside down by a dream, end up traveling to different countries. His whole story is completely thrown out of whack. And what a shocking and unexpected place Joseph takes in history. He's the final entry in Jesus' genealogy, the husband of the woman who bore the Savior. He's waiting with expectation for the Messiah, regularly worshiping, and then all of a sudden he has a dream that he gets to be the surrogate father for this holy unborn child who'd save his people from their sins. Can you imagine him trying to wrap his head around that? He's to provide shelter and a family name for the coming of Emmanuel, the God who's with us. This is what bearing the cost and being a disciple meant for Joseph. Let me just take a minute to make four quick observations on discipleship that we see in Joseph's life. Just four things. There's probably more, but these are four to pay particular attention to. The first is being a disciple means being willing to let go of our plans in order to fulfill God's plans. That's the story of the rest of Joseph's life. You know, what's going to happen next? Being a disciple means being willing to let go of our plans to fulfill God's plans. Second, it means our reputation is less important than our obedience. Our reputation with others is less important than our obedience. You know whose reputation matters? It's only that it matters to God. What's our reputation with God? And that's what Joseph has to do when he bears the cost. He has to say, what's my reputation worth compared to my obedience, compared to my relationship with the master? Our reputation is less important
than our obedience.
The third is that God provides everywhere he leads. We see this all throughout Scripture. It doesn't mean abundance. It doesn't mean that you're always having, you know, just the best time ever. It doesn't mean that you don't go through trials and suffering, but God provided everything that Joseph needed all along the way. When he needed a word from the Lord, he got it in a dream, right? When he needed rescuing, God gave him a way out. God provides everywhere he leads. And then finally, following does not guarantee you know the whole story, right? Think about Joseph's life. This pretty obscure person is elevated in history. We know about him. And yet, he never sees the culmination of what his son did. We have no record of Joseph at the end of Jesus' life. And so he's in this window of being obedient to God, of seeing things that he never thought he would see. And he doesn't get the whole story, but he's called to obedience. So being a disciple means being willing to let go of our plans to fulfill God's plans. It means our reputation's less important than obedience. God provides everywhere he leads, and following doesn't guarantee that you know the whole story. And Joseph certainly lived these lessons. And these truths apply to you and to me, Christians seeking to live as a disciple, considering the cost to obey. As Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. This through line of God's plan is what's certain, what's sturdy. And Joseph banked his life on it. Do these observations ring true for you in your life of faith? Can you point to experiences or moments where you learned these lessons in bearing the cost of following Jesus? It's a gift here, these little glimpses of Joseph laboring in the workshop of faith. And it should encourage us. It should inspire us to trust God in our own lives. I'm sure most of us haven't received messages from a dream angel. But God's character to lead and to guide hasn't changed. The same character that led Joseph is the character of God for each of us. And so we can trust God's next step for us. He'll lead, and we can follow. We have the gift of Scripture to hear and understand God's mind. We have the reality of living after Jesus came as one of us, after his death, after his resurrection. We have the promise of God's Spirit guiding and developing our character. These are the pattern and the details along with his presence that our Master uses to teach us to be like him as we labor in the workshop of faith. And so as we're wrapping up this morning and looking again at Joseph's example and bearing the cost of discipleship, we shouldn't take our eye off the foundational focus of Matthew's gospel, which is this stunning introduction of the nature and the work of this baby who's going to grow up. The clues that are woven throughout the narrative and Joseph's dreams make clear that God has come to save his people from their sins. Notice here the revelation that Joseph receives in his first dream. The name of the baby, Jesus, the Lord saves. And to make sure that we understand, the angel tells Joseph that he will save his people from their sins. This common Jewish name, pointing to God's power to save, right? The Lord saves, is given to this specific baby to highlight the importance of this unexpected birth. This boy will be God's artist to do this great work, ridding people of the shame and the stain of their sin. Joseph is told of the work this baby will accomplish. And then Matthew adds this second aspect of the foundational focus of this whole section with his comment in verse 22. He shows through Jesus' genealogy and then the actions of his earthly parents that everything is going according to plan. It's all to fulfill prophecy. And the specific prophecy is the coming of a baby born of a virgin who will be called Emmanuel. God who is with us. When quickly reading through all of the three of Joseph's dreams, you'll notice that each is followed by this same idea. Everything happened just as Scripture had laid out, just as it had said, in fulfillment of what had been said years before. All of these things happened to fulfill them. Matthew's saying, promise made, promise kept. Right? Prophecy given, prophecy fulfilled. Listen again to Dr. Bruner as he shows the power of Matthew's insistence on connecting Jesus to scriptural prophecy. I love this. He writes, Holy Scripture did not coincidentally fulfill itself in the life of Jesus. It inevitably, ineluctably fulfilled itself in him because the same Spirit who had conceived these words of promise then conceives this active fulfillment now. Holy Scripture, like the Holy Spirit, is full of Jesus Christ. All Scripture longs to be filled with Christ and to be interpreted in his light. It was made for him. So while the faithfulness, the consideration, and the obedience of Joseph are admirable, the true marvel is the faithfulness of God to fulfill all he promised in sending his Son as a Savior for all people. Jesus, the saving one, is the eternal God come to be with his people. What? To instruct them, to rescue them from sin, and to invite all who receive him to a new life in the workshop of faith. All throughout the Bible, we see the witness of God's people. People like Joseph who bear the cost of discipleship. They choose God's plans over their own. They put aside their reputation and they rely on God's provision, even though they don't see the whole picture. And so Joseph heard the Lord. And as an apprentice in the workshop of faith, he did what the master required. He bore the cost of discipleship in order to fulfill his master's plan. And so his faithfulness is a model to us that even though we don't have the whole picture, I certainly don't, we can act, we can trust our master, and trusting God, considering his ways, following his direction. These are the marks of discipleship. It may cost you in the short run, but God's with you for the long haul. The workshop of faith may start with a simple act of obedience, like grinding pigment, but God is with you, and he's committed to developing each of you. And so we know that as we pursue his way, we're blessed with the greatest reward, and that's to work alongside the great master for his great purpose. And in the fullness of time, God will faithfully bring about all that he's promised, not because of what we've done, but because of what that promised baby grew up to do. And so may this same Jesus, our Emmanuel, give us grace to bear the cost of discipleship in our lives each and every day. Shall we pray together? Our gracious God, we give you thanks for this example of Joseph who bore the cost of discipleship, who followed your lead in order that your Son might be displayed glorious in this life and might give us hope for eternal life. And I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for those who might be listening who are wondering if Jesus is able, that this message of bearing the cost would draw each of us again to a commitment to you, to your workshop of faith, day by day, to live out obedience out of great joy, out of great love and thankfulness. Help us in this, we pray by your Spirit. We commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Salvation. Well, friends, the charge is this: continue in the workshop of faith. God doesn't promise that it's going to be easy, but he does promise that it will be worth it, because following Jesus along the path of discipleship is the path of real joy. And if you've come and you're wondering if there's complete forgiveness from God for you, and if you've come in repentance and in faith, faith in the work of Jesus, not your own, then on the authority of God's word, not my own, I declare to you that all your sins are forgiven. If you need someone to talk with or to pray with, one of our ministry leaders is available right now over Zoom. If you get our worship bulletin each week, you'll find that link in there. And then our pastors are available for prayer and to just encourage you in any way that we can following service in person here outside. But as we go into this new week filled with challenges and filled with blessings, remember that we are not alone. God is with us. The great artist walks with us and gives us his blessing. And receive it now in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. May he bless you. May he keep you. May his face of amazing mercy, mercy that is new for us every morning, just shine down upon you and experience his joy along the path of discipleship. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace. Thank you.